Hello, welcome to another episode of Walks with a Copywriter. I'm Ollie, I'm a copywriter, and I should say good morning, really, because it's about 8:30 in the morning in a very sunny England today. Blue skies, a light breeze, and it's relatively cool. It's certainly, I think, really in the last week, has autumn has arrived, and I'm walking down a path, actually, through the town where I live, and there are leaves scattered along this path, from all sorts of different types of trees. Interestingly, there's a sort of a maple leaf looking type thing, which is not a maple leaf, it's but it looks similar, and there's lots of sort of thin, don't know how you describe them, really, thin leaves, all different colours, verging on yellow. So yeah, autumn has certainly arrived, and the temperature has really cooled down too. Anyway, of course, I thought it would be a good idea to record a podcast, so here we are. I thought I'd speak about newsletters today, because a little while ago I was involved in a project redesigning a newsletter. The client had asked me to take a look at their existing newsletter, which was, it wasn't performing terribly. It had a very low click-through rate, as in not many people were clicking the links inside it, and the open rate was okay. I won't share exact numbers just for the sake of clients' anonymity, but it was acceptable. I'd say it was probably about the average for a newsletter, but anyway, they asked me to have a look and see if I could think of some ways to improve it, which I did. As I'll explain in a short while, the results were great, really, really good. So what did I do? First of all, with any communications, you want to make sure that it's relevant to the recipient. Now, in the newsletter as it stood, there was a lot of news about the company. And there was a bit of information about that was directly relevant to the customer. And this was a monthly email that they received. It was very long, so there was a lot of content in there. And interestingly, the customer-focused content was further down the newsletter than the news relating to the company. So one of the first things that I did was to actually take a look at the click performance. So which links were people clicking? So which content were people really interested in? And actually, the further you scrolled down the email, the more the links were being clicked. And I think this was because it was more relevant to the subscriber. So one of my first thoughts was, well, let's flip that round. Let's put the content that's relevant to the recipient at the top, straight up, and move the company related stuff further down. The second challenge was to shorten the newsletter. I think, as I've said many times in previous episodes, with all content, you're competing for the attention of the reader. And, you know, we all have, imagine you're the reader yourself and you receive an email, well, you have lots of things going on in your life that need your attention too. And there's lots of other forms of content, including entertainment, that are trying to capture your attention and hold your attention. And so your newsletter that you're sending out needs to compete with that. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you can create really engaging content, which we all strive to do. But you can also make sure that the content you send out is short and snappy and to the point. If you get somebody to open the email, you want to hold their attention so they read it and they click through any links that you've got in there. And the best way to do that is, I think, to position the content that's directly relevant to the reader up front and make it as short and direct as possible. This will just avoid them from, I don't know, zoning out or thinking of other things or getting distracted. You just want to hold their attention. So that's what I did. I looked at the actual content that was being sent out. As I said, there was a lot of news regarding the company and the industry as well that was in there. And a lot of that news was actually linking to existing content they had elsewhere. So like a blog article. So I thought, well, do we need, you know, a couple of paragraphs speaking about a particular, news event? Or could we condense that into a single sentence and link to the blog article where they can read more? And that's what I did. So we condensed sections of that newsletter into one or two paragraphs, with each item just having its own sentence that linked off to content elsewhere. And as I'll show in a second, that proved really, really effective. And just regards, having lots of contents in your emails that in this case was all linked to other content elsewhere, whether that was like a blog article or another page on the site or a social post. All of those links again are competing for someone's attention. So they've opened the newsletter. There's about 10 different things competing for their attention. And they have all this choice. Imagine turning up at a restaurant and there's a menu full of, 50 items, and you spend longer looking at the menu deciding what you're going to eat than actually eating that meal itself. Or think about tuning into Netflix and deciding what you're going to watch. Well, it's the same thing. People don't want to make difficult decisions. And the more decisions you force on to people, the less likely they're actually going to make one. So it's better to have a shorter menu, so to speak, of options they can click on than a longer one. And so I looked at the length of the newsletter. There were so many sections within it, I thought, let's condense that down. I eventually got it down to about 4 sections in the end, which even then is perhaps one too many. But one of those was something we did actually very interesting was we found a way of tailoring the content inside the newsletter to sort of dynamically update depending on who the recipient was. So just to give an example, this is a fictitious example, but it could have been something like everyone under the age of 40 receives a list of these articles to read, and everyone over the age of 40 would receive a different list of articles to read which was relevant to them. We did something like that, and actually we came up with 4 different audiences. So the full newsletter itself was the same for everyone, apart from one section where the content would be swapped out depending on who the recipient was. And again, it's because we wanted to make that content in the email as relevant to the individual as possible. Again, it just means that when they open the email, everything is relevant to them. So just to summarize, we shortened the email. We shortened the actual content within the email so that, for example, the news items were single sentences rather than paragraphs. I also stripped out some of the imagery. There were lots of images in there, and you think people just scroll past it. I know it looks very nice, but it doesn't really add any value. So I removed most of that. So I think we just have one image in there now. Limited the number of links in there for them to sort of choose between. Prioritized content that was relevant to the user at the top of the newsletter, and pushed everything else further down. And then the last thing I did was just change the subject line so that it referenced their name at the beginning of the subject. So in my case, it would say Ollie, and then it would say, here's your November update, for example. And each month you would change that to the relevant month. And that proved really effective. Again, trying to personalize things as much as possible. So what were the results? Very, very good, actually. The open rate was about nearly 50% more than it was before. So again, I can't unfortunately give exact numbers, but just for example, if the open rate was 20%, then it would now be 30%, or just under. So it was a real significant improvement in the number of people that were opening the email to begin with, and that was literally just through the change in the subject line. And this all happened 4 months ago, and it's been sent four times, and each of those four emails has had about the same open rate and about the same click-through rate. So these changes, I think it's fair to say, have made the difference, and it hasn't been a one-off, a fluke. So that's the open rate, and then the click-through rate, most pleased with, went from, let's say it was 1%, it went to 5%, it was five times more than it was before we made those changes. And I put those into real terms, and it works out that would be like an extra 10,000+ people clicking a link to engage with their content, which is fantastic. You know, that's a lot of people, and it makes a big difference, a really big difference to them. So I hope that sort of demonstrates the proof in the pudding, so to speak, and that some of those tips you found helpful. I think newsletters these days are just as effective in communicating with your customers, or you know, whoever else is on your subscriber list, as they ever were. I know, of course, more and more emails are sent every day, but I think if you get it right, and people, you just get them to open it once, and you're consistent, so you know, send it at the same time every month, or however frequently you do it, and make sure the content is consistently good, then people will continue to open it, and you won't lose. Because what we were seeing before we made that change was that the open rate was actually gradually going down month on month. And I think it was because people were opening it and realizing it that this is not all directly relevant to me, so I'm not going to open it next time. We managed to change the subject line, get it back up, and it stayed up. So yeah, I think newsletters can be just as effective as long as you get those things right. And one other thing that I would say, and this is not really the role of the copywriter, but it's a good thing to bear in mind if someone expects you as a copywriter to improve the open rate of an email. One of the main things that influences the open rate are, of course, the people who are subscribed onto that list. And that's something that is probably out of your control as a copywriter. That needs somebody to have a look and figure out who's not opening the email, who never opened the email, who's not receiving the email because maybe it's bouncing, it's not actually going into their inbox for some reason, and just removing them from the subscriber list. Giving your subscriber list a regular health check is a really good idea, because it means that you're not sending emails to a group of people that were never going to open it anyway. It just sort of distorts the data a bit, so it's better just to remove them. But of course, that's not really for the copywriter to do normally. If anyone asks you to improve the open rate of a newsletter, that there's only so much that you can do as a copywriter regarding that subject line. The rest has got to be on, you know, the person that's actually sending the email and managing the subscriber list. So and then of course there is the time of day, the day of the week, the frequency of sending it, which again is probably out of your hands. All I would really say to that is, in my experience, and my background is as a marketer as well as a copywriter, so I've sent many newsletters over the last more than a decade, the time of day and everything honestly, I've never really noticed much of a difference. I've done a lot of experiments with this, and I just think if you have a really good content within your newsletter, a strong subject line, and you send it consistently, so, you know, try to send it at the same time or the same day every month, doesn't matter which time or day it is, then I think that you know, you'll have success. So yeah, I hope all that has been helpful. I'm going to continue on with my walk now. I've been in a nice leafy area with trees either side now. Lots of sort of nettles as well to my left. I'll try to avoid those. But until the next time, thank you for listening. If, by the way, you enjoy this podcast, please do rate it on iTunes or wherever you listen to it, to help others, you know, discover it and give it a listen. I just hit a couple of hundred listens, which I know is very small at the moment, but just getting started, and every listener is, you know, is really great to me to know that people are out there listening to this, and I hope you find it useful. So yes, please do leave a review if you like it, and otherwise, best of luck with your copywriting. I'll speak to you soon.